Now, the other day we kind of talked about the timeline and everything, and as things always happen for us, the Lord, I think somebody that we are friends with on Facebook also is with Dr. Jeremiah, and I saw on there that he had this, and I would recommend it to you. It's called the Revelation Prophecy Chart, and he puts it out. He sends it to you free, like free. The chart. I've got another one, by the way, at home. I thought maybe at some point maybe we'll put this up somewhere. I don't know where we do those kind of things, or if we do those kind of things. But if we do those kind of things, we might want to put that up just so folks can be able to look at it and see. But it it covers all chapter 1, chapter 2, and 3 together, chapters 6 through 8, and 8 through 11, and all that. It breaks that all down really, really, really nicely. Sometimes these can be done in such a way that they're, I don't know, personally I think they're a little confusing because it's, you know, all this stuff is here and here and, you know, and you're trying to get through it. So I thought that was really well done. All right, well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 12. We're making progress. I've only been here 3 months, and we've gotten through chapter 11. I'm a speedy Gonzalez. By that, it's very interesting for your ministry there, Paul, that back home we have missionaries that we support or who are actually from Akron. They're from Akron. They're from Canton Baptist Temple. I just went blank. Frank Boer. His name is Frank Boer. They're in Navajo land. And they're working. They've been there for, I would say, 45, 50 years now. His wife went home to be with the Lord recently, huh? In New Mexico, right. And they've ministered in Navajo land. And what you were saying is the same with the Navajos. They have a ministry during the school year. He travels to all of the schools throughout Navajo land and actually gets to teach the boys and in these different schools and stuff like that. And they will reach him as children, and they see him come to church. But when they get to teen years, it's very, very difficult to hold on to him because they just get into that whole culture that has not changed. But we've had folks go out and help them and work with them, and we're thankful for the, you know, there still are reaching souls to Christ. People are still getting saved, so thank the Lord for that. Well, let's stand together, shall we? And we'll read this chapter. This is one of those chapters that from the very beginning you start asking questions. So we'll get there. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come up salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and dwell that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is coming down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask Thee to bless the reading and the hearing and the teaching and preaching of Thy precious Word. I pray, Lord, that You'll enable me this evening to share with the body of Christ these truths that are here. I pray I might be able to make it clear. I pray, Heavenly Father, we'll have a better understanding of this that we have to confess, Lord, is at times a difficult chapter. Chapter is a little difficult to understand some of it or to really know who is who. But I pray, Lord, that as we search the Scriptures, that we will see the truths and we'll be able to identify these personages. We'd ask now Thy blessing, Thy guidance, Thy Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Now, the final battle of Satan's long war against God are yet to be fought. They'll take place in the future during the second half of the tribulation period. The time that Jesus called the Great Tribulation. You'll find that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Now, at that time, Satan, aided by the absence of the raptured church and the presence of increased demon hordes, will mount his most desperate assault against God's purposes and his people. But despite the savage fury with which those assaults will be carried out, they will not succeed. You know, the wonderful thing is that we do know the rest of the story. Jesus will effortlessly crush Satan and his forces. Jesus will send Satan to the abyss for the duration of the millennial kingdom. And after leading the final rebellion to close the millennium, Satan will be consigned to the eternal punishment in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And as Brother Randy was saying the other night, he's not in hell right now, okay? He eventually will be in the abyss, but that's not his final resting place. His final place will, not resting either, will be in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. And that's eventually where everybody who is in hell will eventually be. You know, heaven and hell, we sometimes kind of take, I guess some people may feel this, but hell and the lake of fire, I believe, are two different places. And heaven and the New Jerusalem are two different places. And we have a tendency to kind of put those together. Now, you know, if you believe otherwise, that's fine. Don't run me out, at least at this point. But we'll get to all of those things later. Now, in describing the final hour, or the final war, I should say, the inspired apostle John first introduces main characters, and tonight I want to begin at least to look at three personages. The woman, the dragon, and the male child. So we're going to begin with the woman, verses 1 and 2. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, the first thing that he sees here in this vision is he calls a great wonder, or we can also translate that word wonder, sign. A great sign. This is the first of seven signs in the second half of the tribulation, or the last half of the tribulation period. So there are going to be seven of these that are going to appear. Now, everything John saw seemed to be huge, either in size or significance. This wonder or sign indicates that the woman is not to be taken literally as a woman, but as a symbolic representation of something. So when it tells us it's a sign, it's a wonder, then you know that is cluing you into the fact that this is not just some specific woman. In this case, the description plainly shows that the woman John saw was not an actual woman. Also, the reference to the remnant of her seed or the rest of her offspring that we see at the latter part of the chapter. Those who keep the commandments of God have the testimony of Jesus Christ shows that she is a symbolic mother. All right? Now, she is actually the second of four symbolic women identified in the book of Revelation. See, the second. The first one was an actual woman, all right? But she is symbolically named Jezebel. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. It's all right, you're thinking. Don't beat yourselves up for thinking. Revelation chapter 2, verse 20, we read, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols." Now, I don't believe, and most Bible scholars don't believe this, her actual name was Jezebel. But there was an actual woman in that church who was leading the people astray. And, it is one of those indications of scriptures. The Bible is very clear that the pastor or teacher position is to be a man. That's God's call. Now, that doesn't put women down. It doesn't make them anything. It doesn't make them less or anything. The Bible says very clearly that in Christ we are equal, all right? But we have certain responsibilities, and she's a perfect example of a woman stepping into the position of a teacher and leading the Bible, a body of Christ, astray, and that's what she does here. Today we have a proliferation of this. One of the reasons is these churches, especially mainline denominational churches, don't have enough pastors. We don't have enough either. I'm sure the pressures may come on our churches someday. We have to be very careful of that. The Bible is very clear. As I've always shared with people, a woman can't be the husband of one wife. Well, that was fine to say in Ohio. I just read a couple of days ago, our neighbor is sharing the San Francisco Chronicle with us. So I guess I'll have to change that too, won't I? This woman represents paganism, all right? And of course, we know that's already coming, that's not creeping into the church, it's galloping into the church today. The second woman, of course, is this woman here in chapter 12, which we're going to look at a little bit more. The third woman is depicted in chapter 17, all right? So let's just go there for a moment, Revelation chapter 17. And she's depicted as a harlot, beginning in verse 1. And there came out of the seven angels, which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, whether didst thou marvel, I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. We're going to stop right there and I'll tell you. Okay, so we're just going to stop. But she represents the apostate church. And then the fourth woman is found in Revelation chapter 19. And this one is the bride of the Lamb. And here in verses 7 and 8 it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. That's you. All of us. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So we are that bride that will be readied for him someday. Now, some argue that this woman in chapter 12 represents the church, but the context really makes it clear that she represents Israel. All right? So this woman in chapter 12 represents Israel. The Old Testament also pictures Israel as a woman whom God will utterly restore to himself. And, of course, the reference to the Ark of the Covenant in back in chapter 11, if you go back to verse 19, and the temple of God was open in heaven, there was seen in his temple the Ark of his Testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. And that further supports the fact that it's talking about Israel. Remember, always remember when you're reading the Bible, there was no chapters. Okay, the Bible didn't have chapters. We've added the chapters, not me personally, but we've added the chapter to make it a little easier for us to find our way through the Bible. But when it was all the scriptures was written, it was written without chapters other than the Psalms, all right? This is just a continuation. 19 goes into chapter 12, verse 1. It just keeps on going. So we have to keep that in mind when we're studying the Scriptures. Now, notice what John saw. He saw a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown or a garland of 12 stars. That's really fascinating because once you turn back in your Bibles to Genesis and chapter 37, Genesis chapter 37. As always, we compare Scripture with Scripture. It's always helpful when you have, you can do it yourself, but when you have a Bible that has the references. I might have told you about years ago when I first went to Bob Jones, and it was Bible conference, and I won't go into the whole story, but somebody stole my brand new Schofield reference Bible. And I had happened to have met Dr. Paisley, and he was there, and we saw each other, and I said to him, I said, Dr. Paisley, I said, someone stole my Bible. And he said, praise the Lord, brother. And I'm like, he said, now you can do your own work. And I still have that Bible somewhere at home, and had no references in it. Had to do my own work. Did that for a long time. But it is helpful to have these. We can't always do that. But in Genesis chapter 37, let's go down to verse 9. Now this is talking about Joseph. He dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have a dream. I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were made to abase me, or that is, to bow down and worship me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So there we see that picture. Now, what is that picture? That is a picture of the future Israel. And how that picture of them. And so when we look at that, we see this woman was clothed with the sun, which many believe reflects the redeemed Israel unique glory and exalted status as God's chosen nation. It also probably refers to the fact that Israel is God's light bearer. It also is linked with her with Jacob. The son is Joseph's dream and an heir of the Aromatic covenant. The reference to the moon under her feet may further describe Israel's exalted status. The crown of 12 stars, of course, refers to the 12 tribes of Israel. And having described the woman's attire, notice next that it tells us in verse 2, and she being with child, so she was expecting, she was with child. And this is also a familiar imagery we have of Israel in the Old Testament. Turn to Isaiah and chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, go down with me, if you will, down to verse 17. Like as a woman with child, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have I been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And then go over to chapter 66. Isaiah 66. I just read that this morning in my devotions. And verses 7 through 9. But she travailed, she brought forth before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a Nathan be born at once? For as soon as Zion travaileth, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord? And then, if you will, go to Jeremiah, the next over Jeremiah chapter 4, just a little bit further over in your Bibles, and look at verse 31. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewaileth herself, which spreadeth her hands, saying, Woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. All of those are references to Israel. Yes. Yep. We were going home either yesterday or today, and I think it was yesterday, and there was a car in the freeway, and in the back window was that. Yep. Yep. In fact, I'll mention that in a minute. You just stole all my thunder. No, that's all right. Now, being pregnant, she calls out, and being in labor and in pain to give birth. Just like a pregnant woman in labor feels the pain, so the nation of Israel was in pain, waiting for the Messiah to come. The cause of some of the pain, of course, is persecution by Satan, who, of course, tries to destroy the mother. You know, it's interesting, and this was my note, that the Church of Rome has maintained that this woman here in Revelation chapter 12 represents the Virgin Mary and her Immaculate Conception, that she was bodily assumed into heaven. You know, the Catholic Church teaches that Mary never died, that she was bodily taken into heaven, so she didn't even get to die. She got to go up without dying. Better than Jesus. If you think about it. By the way, that revelation came to them in the 1950s, I think, if I'm not mistaken. That's one of the newer ones that came along. By the way, Mary Baker, Gloverson, Patterson, Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor scientific, was so conceited that she claimed that she was this woman. And the male child was Christian Science. J. Vernon McGee reported, of course, J. Vernon McGee, you know, pastor for a very long time in Southern California, Los Angeles. He reported that there was a female preacher in California who became famous or infamous, however you want to express it, toyed with the idea that she might be the woman mentioned in this chapter, and she was Amy Simple McPherson, who was very popular at one time in Southern California. And you can pick on the Southern Californians if you want to, because we had somebody like her down there. I forget exactly where she was. She was outside of L.A. a little bit. Where. So, this woman in Revelation chapter 12 is representative of Israel. Okay? And it kind of, remember, you know, in the Old Testament, when you have prophecies, they don't go into all the details. Somebody has described it like this. It's like being in a church and getting down and looking across the top of all of the seats, all right? You see each top of the seat, but you don't see anything in between. Now, a lot of the prophecies are that way. We don't have all the time in between. Well, this revelation here is doing the same thing. It's covering a lot of period here. It's talking about a lot of things that are going on. Of course, we know that Israel brought forth the Messiah. Israel is persecuted and continues to be and will continue to be persecuted to the very end. And so we have this picture here. Now, the second one is the dragon, verses 3 and 4. And there There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Oh boy. We could be here until about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So I'm going to stop.